Hello, it is Laurie with Equality Time.
Hello, kids.
Hello, kids.
It's Carissa.
Nice to see you.
You as well.
And we're here with Equality Time every week on Fridays. We made it. It's Friday again.
Yep.
Can you imagine? We're here.
Yep. I had a long, hard week of still resting.
Sleeping. Taking naps in the middle of the day.
Acting like a kitty cat. Yeah.
Yep.
I feel guilty, but
you should.
Okay. I know.
Because I know nobody else gets to take
naps. Laurie was bugging
me in the middle of the day.
Laurie was
kind of. Because
you
said you were having a nap.
Yeah.
Before.
And she's like,
well, la-di-da.
La-di-da. And I'm like, yeah, I have nothing to go with that. I have no response.
I worked all day long.
Yeah.
I missed 8 hours. And
I miss my coworkers.
Nap. The afternoon.
Yeah.
Well, hey, good. When are you going back to work? I'm sure they're asking that same question, right?
Everybody's asking me. Tentatively, well, 6 weeks after the operation. So mm-hmm. That'd be like the 22nd of May.
Okay. Well, you still got another week or
yeah,
so,
which
right?
will be a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So that leaves for a 3-day week. That's a good way to ease it in.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
So my doctor's office, you know, trying to do the paperwork for the Family Medical Leave Act, FMLA, and mm-hmm. then the short-term disability. And first of all, I just don't like paperwork. I mean, who does?
You mm-hmm. know, it's nope.
And it's sort of like trying to get them to fill this out is like pulling teeth.
Isn't that their job, though?
Yeah. I was telling my very patient HR mm-hmm. director at work, you know, it's sort of like, you know, doctors, you know, I'm an engineer, so it's like paperwork is the last thing we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doctors want to do surgery, engineers want to do design work and blow stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I know that doctors don't want to do anything.
I try to see the silver lining in everything now that I'm a happy girl, but I was trying to see the negative in everything. Oh my gosh.
Do you have to pay a little bit for your benefits when you're out? I know that when
No, it's on short term, so oh. I think it's included in there.
Mm-hmm.
But
good.
If it's late, like if I'm late or whatever, if there's a big debacle, I might have to pay for the whole thing.
Oh, geez.
You know, but it's still far less
mm-hmm.
than the cost of the operation.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
But that also means no salary either through mm-hmm. short-term disability. So, I mean, I did my due diligence. I got it passed in, and everyone involved better do their job.
Right.
So
then you can go back to work and have your benefits during the time
yeah.
you're out. That's good.
Yeah, for anybody listening who's considering surgery, you know, this is a process, you know. It's all about progress, you know. It can take a while talking with the insurance company, seeing what they allow, seeing what's covered, what's not covered. If things are not covered, you can, like for me, I found medical necessity. My doctors found medical necessity based on my past and my psychological nature to make it medically necessary to do this, and they had to make special exception for it. Doesn't mean that it'll happen to everybody. Some people will get covered right away. I think the Health Connector does cover this on itself, if I'm not mistaken. Other private, you know, I have private insurance. Some just flat out don't.
Mm.
It really depends on your policy.
Right.
Some cover top surgeries, some do bottom, some do both, some do none. Expect an uphill battle, but it's getting better.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a year and a half process for me. It was a lot of it was just a lot of waiting around. Part of it was the doctor's office just forgetting my file,
oh.
you know. Because they had a loss in some employment there. But other than that, you know, I'm super satisfied with the surgery, the results, and, you know, my doctor knows their stuff. I can't believe, like, in the last week, what I'm learning about it. I'm learning about this new blessing that I have. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to get into any specifics, but, I mean, it works well. Yes, it's painful. My exercises are painful, but there's no day-to-day pain. Mm-hmm. And sensation is coming back every day. Just a little bit every day.
Okay.
I'm feeling something new every few days or something like that, something to learn. You know, I have a lot of great friends, you know, that help me along. I have Lori here. I have a few other friends named Lori. I have lots of wonderful friends that help me through it.
So that's what you need. You know, hopefully anybody else looking into surgery has a good support network in order to get support before and after, during the surgery, you know, so that you know that there's people waiting to help on the way.
It's really good. Mm-hmm. And I tell people in transition really early. It's like, I was talking to a friend of mine earlier this week who is non-binary, assigned female at birth. And when you're first starting out and you feel like you're all alone, your points of contact, your network, your therapist, your endocrinologist or primary care, whoever's doing your hormones, your psychiatrist, you know, your support network starts there.
Mm-hmm.
Go to transgender support groups.
Mm-hmm.
You have friends there. By default, you have friends.
Yeah.
You know, just be kind, be nice, you know. I've seen trans people that just have an attitude and have this aspect of me, and not like you are obligated to offer something. It's just, I've seen people just not be nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just be, you know.
People will be more likely to want to support you if you are nicer. But also, I can understand somebody being bitter or hurt for any kind of discrimination or...
Sure, and internalized transphobia comes with the game.
Yeah, that's...
You know, so many people just don't want to be trans. I mean, nobody wants... Whoever's trans, I mean, in the beginning, I haven't known anyone who loved being transgender, you know, unless they love the goal or the trip.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, who else gets to do this? Wow. It's like, well, logically, if this never happened, would you have known any better? If you don't know what you're missing, then there's nothing to miss.
Right. Exactly.
So.
Well, let's go to a break and we'll talk more about your surgery and how you're doing.
Yeah. And news.
And news.
Current events.
That's right.
Stick around.
You're singing to us now.
Oh. I love Sam Smith.
Yes.
So comfortable listening to.
Yes. That's right. I like that song, Stay With Me. It's good. So you were talking about the way you're eating how you're feeling tired, because healing takes up so much energy.
Yes, doing a lot of reading and stuff like that. Yeah, I was just explaining during the break that, my gosh, I underestimated how much power is required by the body to heal itself. It seems like common sense, but I don't whatever about common sense. But it's sort of like, there were days where I had a lot of protein. I mean, beef and a lot of milk. And sure, it's disgusting. It's like so chocolatey. It's too chocolatey. And the chalk is to be expected, but the chocolate is so strong. I always had to cut it with milk, but I would have that with like dinner or lunch, just a cup of Ensure, and then refill it with milk and just pour that in with it too. Just have a big tall glass of chocolate Ensure milk, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's like 24 grams right there of protein.
Mm-hmm.
And the protein in milk, I know from my personal training days, is really high quality. It's lysine. It's really good quality protein. So, but like baked beans, chili. It was really great for a lot of fiber and the protein in the beans, and just eating a lot of steak, which I can only handle so much, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Nuts have some good protein in it, though, too.
Yeah.
So that's
eating a lot of nuts and almonds. I love it. Do you like the wasabi almonds?
Oh, yeah. You know, I don't think I've had them that much until last week. I got the soy and wasabi almonds, like in the little packet. And I'm like, wow, these are really good, but they're spicy too, but they're good.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, God knows I love wasabi and wasabi soy and with my sushi.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yum, yum, yum. But it's like, so a lot of times just feel so darn tired. Just don't want to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you just wish that someone could just come out of the wall and just make you dinner. And people have offered me, and you're so sweet. And it's not like I can just call someone, can you make me dinner? It's like, I'm so independent. I'm able to do it. I just gotta, as my daddy would always say, you just gotta effing do it.
Mm. No, it's true. You just have to get up, do it, and then it gets done. And
then I just sleep for 4 hours.
Yeah. Right.
See what else I've been doing.
You know, we take for granted that healing. You know, sometimes when you get a cut or something like that, it just happens. I mean, of course, that's much smaller of a healing than a surgery, but it's true that, and you know, if you hurt yourself or whatever, you know, this big bruise, and I mean, it's healing. It does take energy, not as much as a surgery, but you don't know until you have something large like that.
Verizon must be really mad at me because, like, I've been using so much of YouTube.
Oh.
Just watching documentaries and
and
just, like, literally, how does the body heal?
Oh.
And watching multiple videos on that.
And wow.
Just really, really fascinating. Like, when you are cut, the capillaries swell.
Mm-hmm.
They do that on purpose to keep out further infection. The swelling part.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 4 stages to a wound, and I don't remember what they are, but because I'm an engineer, not a doctor. They go through a swelling stage, and then the granulation tissue comes along, where it's just basically just skin cells just rush in and just start creating flesh cells.
Hmm.
And they just go in and just rush into the wound, and that's what makes it really tough.
Mm-hmm.
And then the wound starts closing itself up, and then the maturation phase is when literally the wound appears to disappear.
Hmm.
But that can take a couple of years.
Oh, wow.
For that phase.
Wow.
But it's a very fascinating situation.
Healing documentary by Carissa.
I've been fascinating by the latest PC technologies. I'm a real computer nerd, so just, you know, reading all about the different components these days, what goes into a gaming PC. I kind of wanted to build one.
Hmm. That's good.
What else am I been up to?
So I'm in my last class. I'm doing my very last.
Well, tell me, talk about paper. Yourself.
I know, right? So I'm just going to cut in and, you know, had a little break there. But do my very last paper, and then I'm done. And I graduate next week.
You graduate?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yep. I'm going to Boston to actually go graduation. I have a cap and gown.
Yeah.
Amazing. That's like real. But yeah, so my last paper I'm doing is actually on LGBT discrimination.
Beautiful.
And how there's these businesses who are deciding to discriminate based on what they believe, their religious beliefs. And so they are deciding to discriminate on that.
Mm.
On those beliefs. And what really makes it worse is that courts and the government are allowing it and are pushing it to happen. And so that the either the complaints get ignored, overlooked, or the companies don't get anything that they have to get a fine or get any kind of say something to stop them from doing it. You know, they just keep on going with it. And like the cake shop, for instance, in Colorado, that decided they were not going to make a cake for a gay couple. And they didn't think it was discrimination. They said, I'll make you a birthday cake, but I'm not going to make you a wedding cake for your wedding because you're a gay couple. And my religious beliefs say that I can't, that it's sin and that you can't.
Yeah, I wonder what religion was this.
Well, he said he was a Christian. I mean, you can't. Well,
it sounds religious to me. It doesn't really sound like it's inspired by faith.
Yeah.
Or the Holy Spirit. It sounds like it's religion, definitely.
Yes. So, it just
pisses me off.
Yeah.
Well, it's then ignorant.
He filed a court case against the couple now, saying that they're discriminating against him and his religious liberty.
Well, yeah.
No, they're not.
Well, no, I'm not agreeing with him, but I'm just like, it sounds like, well, yeah, means like a natural response.
Mm-hmm.
I guess someone would say, it's like, you did it. No, you did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's pointing fingers. You're confident that you are right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what he said the truth. You know, what's.
Right. Two sides in the truth.
So what was the verdict?
Well, actually, the.
Still a jury out.
Yeah, pretty much, because the court at first said no, he discriminated, and he had to like do training for all his employees and in order to not discriminate against people again. Then there was an appeal, and then the court came back and said that he didn't discriminate. I don't know. It's really confusing, but it's just back and forth, even with the courts, because different people on the courts believe different things.
Radical obfuscation. Yeah, I suppose if one were to look at that using the scientific method, the first thing to do is actually consider your source. Consider your source of information. Well, is it a sin to begin with?
Well, I guess it all depends on what you believe and what religion you are, or what faith you are.
Believing is one thing,
mm-hmm.
but what it really is, is another.
Mm-hmm.
And usually with religion, is these things do not, they're not copacetic with one another. They don't match.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes religion is based on fear.
Mm.
And that's what the priest said. That's what the pastor said. That's what my reverend said.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it's law in your view. It's like, did you read any bit of the Bible in the New Testament? What does it say?
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked with people before, and they don't know what to do. I don't do it on purpose. I just invoke logic, mm-hmm. I suppose, or just something, some reason. It's dialectic behavioral therapy. It suggests that we have a rational mind, the emotional mind, when you combine them together, the stuff that meets in the middle is the wise mind.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're solving a problem or an issue or analyzing a situation, it's good to use both.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if you're going to use your completely logical mind, you're just going to be like Spock all the time. You're just going to not allow emotion into it, and everyone's going to be hurt. If you use pure emotion, you've seen that happen. Where it's just a screaming, you know, bullying, anger.
You know, what I was thinking is that if you have a religion and you believe something about what you've read, wouldn't that just be, okay, your belief, you're not going to do it, that's fine. But why do you have to take your religion and push it on somebody else saying, okay, now you need to believe this too, so I'm not going to do it? It just seems like it's the silliest, I don't know, for them to push their religion on somebody else.
Yeah, we could speculate about that all we want. Maybe we'll touch upon it after the break.
All right. Here's our Melissa Etheridge for the day.
We were just joking, like, she's, you know, started coming to my window. I said, just cut it right then and there. We'll go right back to talking. That'd be so funny.
Well, I missed the the cutoff before it started. So I was like, oh, well, then I guess we're going to listen to
it. It's a darn
song.
Good song, so
yes.
Why not?
Yes, it is.
Isn't she putting out a new record now or very soon?
Oh,
she's
I don't know.
She's kind of like busy again.
Oh, you know what? I haven't paid attention, I guess.
I think it was something I saw on YouTube.
Oh.
I watch a lot of YouTube.
Yeah, you were saying your documentaries.
Yes. Yes. So, what were we talking about?
Well, I was saying that, you know, I had gotten a comment from pastor for my paper, because with all of the people, and there's like three businesses that I talked about in my paper that were using their quote unquote religious liberty to discriminate against people. So I said, well, maybe it might be a good idea to get a statement from a pastor, somebody who, you know, is kind of on the side of religion or scripture, and see what they had to say. So
yeah.
I did get a comment from him. I'll read a little part of it just for people to hear. He says, legislative protection to religiously discriminate would be a direct threat on the religious rights of people such as myself who have a very different interpretation of Christianity. He went on before to say, right now some Christians claim that their freedom to be Christian is being jeopardized because they're not allowed to discriminate against those whom they deem to be sinful. They argue that the law should protect their interpretation.
Sure.
I just wanted to say about that. Isn't that like the judgment that God says, thou shalt not judge, or you'll, you know, because you'll be judged by God?
Well,
or it's for it's him just, to do or something. Yeah. I didn't say it right. But.
And this is in the Judeo-Christian paradigm of the religious studies. Thou shalt not be judged, for you'll be judged in equal measure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something like that. You shall not judge unless you be, you know, because you'll be judged in equal measure. So, in my opinion, I'm far from being a pastor, but I think about this a lot. I think about my default pros and stance on faith in general. And do I necessarily want to take freedoms away from other people? The answer is no. Do I want to force ideas upon people? No. I used to, you know, until I came out and actually understood what really liberty is, because it took transition to do that. Because it does not benefit me to make your life like mine, unless enough of you convert to match my goal. So what that is tyranny. Mm. You know. So this country is based on liberty, and the pursuit in pursuit of happiness.
Yeah, and I use that in my paper too. But
and which is terrific. Our forefathers were really freaking smart. They're also mavericks too.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But very intelligent.
They didn't know that there'd be such a diverse group of people living in America now.
Sure.
I mean, they didn't know who was going to be, you know, in different families and how they're set up and, you know, who's raising what kid and things like that. They didn't know how these things were going to be happening in this time, hundreds of years later. So, and they didn't say in there that you needed to pick and choose who's going to get these same liberties. It's, they said all men. No, I'm good. I also,
all mankind.
Mankind, which is what I said in my paper too. Yeah. When I put that part into it, I said that basically all people, deserve these freedoms and the, ability to live life and
God given rights to be free
and pursuit of happiness.
Yeah.
And my pursuit of happiness may be different from yours. It doesn't have to be the same way.
Sure. And my goal, and I'm a Christian, is I want to be Christ-like. Mm. I'm not an Orthodox Jew. I am a Christian. So I want to, God help me, behave like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
do as he does. And that means judge no one.
Mm-hmm.
He did make righteous judgments. He never made an unrighteous judgment. He did anger. So do we.
Mm-hmm.
But my default is, if I see a dying, or not a dying, a prostitute at the well, and she might have been done with the prostitution, I suppose, and she was on her fifth man,
mm-hmm.
right? It is not my business or my judgment to judge her. God forbid. You know, it's, he just sat down and had a talk with her.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, basically, sin no more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did not judge her. Now, there's the borderline. He said, sin no more. Now, someone could say, you homosexual or you transgender, you sin no more. There's a little catch 22 there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to think that Christ did it out of righteousness. Thing is, in the ladies' aspect, it wasn't being gay. It was actually adultery.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which,
and so that goes right out of the Ten Commandments.
But yeah, right. But you also have to look at
that was the context.
People who say that homosexuality is sin.
It is not a sin.
Right.
There we because
are. I needed to say that out
remember,
loud.
Remember, in the Old Testament, there was a lot about that being an abhorrent sin.
Mm-hmm.
And it was punishable by death in those archaic times.
Mm-hmm.
Why was it a sin? We could talk about that all night,
mm-hmm.
you know? I have my own theories. I'm just one woman.
Was it not monogamous? Was it, I mean, like, what well, made it that way?
You know, I don't know.
Was it adulterous? What is it, you know?
Well, you could have a monogamous relationship with a same sex and or gender person. But what happens is you can't make babies. And it was during a time where people, where God wanted people to replicate as much as possible because there were enemies all around. And they wanted, God wanted people to replicate, to defend their villages
mm-hmm.
from enemies, right? That to me is scientifically, logically, the only reason for that. You know, it's like you cannot eat shellfish. Well, why?
Mm-hmm.
Just because? Because God is mean? No. Maybe there's something about the water in that area that was just really bad. Could have been bad algae pools. It could have been toxicity.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And it doesn't say that. It doesn't specify.
Right. So, and Jesus is clear. He says, there's more I wish to tell you, but you cannot handle it at this time. He said that out of love. He mm-hmm. said, just, I can't. You know? He had knowledge of all man. This isn't, now we're not making this a religious program today, but no, we're trying to offer some, my opinion of why homosexuality isn't a sin, because nowhere in the New Testament does it say you shall not
mm-hmm.
lie with someone else of the same gender and or sex. Paul says it, like, I think it's mentioned a couple times, but Paul says, "You men lie with men, women with women, but you are washed clean."
Mm-hmm.
Again, I have to look it up where it says that, but I remember that scripture. I've studied the Bible, and if you're a Christian, you believe that Jesus' blood paid for everything,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it loves you that much. That's the idea. So for Christians to say, to cherry pick what they want to believe and not, goes against understanding the whole context, the whole shebang, the whole enchilada of that scripture that you hold dear to your heart. And you have a right to hold dear to your heart. You know?
But love is love. And it doesn't matter.
Love is love
the
too.
Gender yeah. or the sex that you love.
And it's not your business what I do. And it's not my business but what you do.
That's right.
And we'll be right back.
Hello, we're back. When did you just drop and fly across the room?
Throwing coasters around.
Okay. So another part of my, one of the other cases that I talked about in my story, you just threw that one across the room too, was in Hawaii, which was actually, I'm surprised because it's a pretty progressive state. There's a bed and breakfast there. And a lesbian couple decided they were going to go and stay at this bed and breakfast, yet the owner decided they were not going to let them stay there. They said, she said that she felt a moral obligation to know what sexual activity is happening in her bed and breakfast.
Oh.
It's like, okay.
Don't ask questions for answers you don't want to know.
Yeah. So she said, then you can't stay here. So she didn't allow them to stay in her bed and breakfast. And the this was in 2008.
Yeah.
And so the couple had filed a complaint with the Human Rights Commission in Hawaii or something, because there's a public accommodation law there that says you can't discriminate based on this list, which included sexual orientation and gender identity and all that. And it didn't. It took 10 years for the courts to come back with a ruling on that. They said, yeah, that she discriminated, but didn't give any anything that they didn't have to pay a fine or anything. So they were able to just do the same thing to anybody else. There was no.
Sounds like politics, if you ask me.
Yeah. So that's just what LGBT people are running against with these businesses who decide that they want to use their religious beliefs to discriminate. And I showed a bunch of different charts in my paper about how most people do believe that everybody should be equal and don't agree with businesses who discriminate for those reasons, for religious beliefs.
You know what really grinds my gears is when people will say that children are worst off when they were with a same-sex couple and or trans couples, or when one is trans or whatever, one or both. We've talked about that before. We talked about...
That grinds my gears because I have a child, so...
Sure, that... you know, the top 10 myths things that make people gay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, that all of a sudden that your daughter is going to be gay because she lives with two moms. You know, it's like.
I don't think so.
No, because you're born that way. Well, if you think that it's still learned, if someone still believes that it's still learned, it's adopted into you. It's nurture. It's all nurture and no nature. Then
how is it that gay people have two opposite sex parents, if that's the case, if it's all because of who your parents are?
Right. Actually, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, I didn't even consider that. Wow. Whoa, that blows my mind.
Okay.
Right. So how many people come out as gay with two opposite sex parents?
A lot of them.
And a lot of them very happy homes.
Yeah, right.
You know, where they have a lot of ew moments when they're parents are getting down, all that business.
Everybody does usually have those ill moments.
You know, my goodness. Well, God bless them that they had those ill moments, because that makes for a happy, healthy marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And God basically wants married people to have lots of sex. So, you know, it's like, my gosh, lighten up.
Right. So obviously, it's not going to be because of your parents how you turn out. You know,
right.
It's by what your orientation is, and because you're born that way, and that's what just is. It's not about somebody making somebody else be gay or trans. I mean, like our stupid reasons why somebody is trans week that we did and talked about that. It's not for any of those reasons.
It was a good laugh.
It was. I like the aliens one. That was pretty good.
Yeah. I don't think aliens have an investment on my butt.
No, probably not.
I mean, they're probably just tuning up their multi-fusion reactors so they can get home, really not worrying about someone's anus.
The internet makes you transgender, or seeing Chaz Bono on TV makes you transgender. Goth culture. And went back to that.
Oh, my goodness. Goth culture.
A world that accepts transgender people is one worse than run by Mike Pence. No.
That is so 20 years ago.
People transition to access female privilege. Oh, wait. Yeah, right.
Female privilege.
Okay. And where's that?
Laurie, what is that?
There is not any such thing.
I mean,
privilege to spend more because your razors cost more. No, that's not a privilege.
That the amount of feminine products you need to utilize every week, every day is way more. I mean,
right, from makeup to
you don't have to wear makeup.
No, but even lotions or monthly, you know, those monthly things that monthly women things, have to do.
And, yeah, you kind of have to do that.
Mm-hmm. But see, we spend
and
more
I'm
money.
And I'm learning. I'm learning that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like another reason to
really you just had surgery, so that's kind of those things are happening.
Oh my gosh,
now.
Just another reason to so totally respect and appreciate the female gender. It's like it's amazing what women have to go through.
Mm-hmm. Every month from when they're like 11 or 12 until forever.
It's not fair. The kids have to go through that.
Yeah.
It really isn't.
Oh, yeah. Demons make you transgender. So many of those crazy things. It's so true. But, so I have to present my paper tomorrow. So we'll see how my instructor, who I actually was supposed to present it yesterday, but then I think he has too many classes that he has to deal with because he said, if anybody needs extra time, just let me know. So I'm like, well, you're going to give me extra time? Sure, I'll take extra time because I can redo my presentation and I can. So then I said, okay, I'll take extra time. He has not responded to me as to when I'm going to be presenting my paper. I want to just get this over with now. I just want to be done. But
I need
That's good. I mean, and it's Friday, and so hopefully I will be done very soon, this weekend. And then I graduate next weekend.
Yay. Flipping amazing.
It is amazing.
How long has your journey been now?
Oh, 2 years.
Yeah.
It is a long time, but, you know, it's because I've been doing one class every term. I haven't doing.
Sure.
I've been doing part-time all online.
I went to continuing ed with Johnson & Wales for 3.5 years to get my bachelor's, to build on my associates that I had at the time.
That's kind of what I was doing.
And it was still, my goodness, it was a haul.
Yeah.
You know, to do this, adults doing this later in their lives get the energy.
Yeah, it really is. But we're about done for tonight, so we will be back next week, though, so... Please come back and listen. Many ways you can contact us. In the meantime, comment on our Facebook page of Equality Time. And then you can also email at equalitytime1320@gmail.com. So please be kind to one another, as Ellen DeGeneres says. And now I say, because I keep saying it. But we will see you next week.
See you next week.
All right.
Be kind. Live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper. Good night.
Bye.